all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Paul Stelter. He currently serves as the chairman of Executive Agenda, where he facilitates a group of senior business executives in their leadership journey. As a consultant, he has provided professional solutions to manufacturing, healthcare, retail, logistics, and financial services organizations. He and his wife, Sharon, who is an accomplished sculptor, live in Sherwood, Wisconsin, within easy walking distance of the High Cliff State Park. Paul enjoys photography, bicycling, and hiking. He also curls in the winter. Well, Paul, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon. I'm happy to be here, and thank you for the invite.
Well, we're excited to have this conversation with you. If you want to give us a quick overview about your background that I didn't dive into, feel free to share that.
I thought you did a pretty good job, but as you said, I'm currently a chair at Executive Agenda, and I've been fortunate to hold a number of other really interesting and challenging jobs in my career and met some really good people along the way.
Well, I'm excited to hear some of those stories today. I want to dive in with some questions related to what you're doing as a chair with Executive Agenda. I know that you're speaking with a number of business executives and senior business leaders. What's the biggest challenge in business that you're seeing today?
One reoccurring theme I hear from many, many companies is their concerns about finding and retaining enough talent to meet their business needs today. The job market has changed substantially, and finding good talent, keeping good talent, is a secret that everyone's trying to find the answer to.
So how are you going about advising your senior business executives on how to resolve this issue?
As I mentioned, the job market has changed from being a buyer's market to a seller's market. There's a lot more competition for talent, and organizations need to be much more creative in how they go about finding that talent and then how they recruit and bring those people into their organizations. For example, one of the things that I've suggested to organizations is take a look at how they even organize their work itself. Do all the jobs need to be from 8 to 5? Are there some jobs that could be filled from, say, 9 to 3? And as a result, make them much more attractive for somebody who's looking to work during the day, but still have time to spend with their kids in the morning and in the afternoon. For example, would you be better off having 3 people working 9 to 3 every day, as opposed to 2 people working 8 to 5 mm-hmm. and struggling to find people to work that 8 to 5 yeah. shift? Another approach may be to look at how the work might be done differently. Could the job be redesigned such that a person who couldn't stand all day but is able to sit could continue to do the work? And in doing so, open it up to a population that in the past an organization may have completely overlooked. In any case, the secret, I believe, is to open yourself up as wide as possible to as many people as possible to find the talent that you're looking for.
Okay. That's really good advice to share. So if I were to ask you what would be the one primary tip you'd share regarding talent recruitment, is that it, or is that another, do you have another tip out there?
No, that's essentially it. That I would recommend that you closely examine your recruiting practices to make sure that you are not inadvertently excluding people that otherwise might be very qualified and interested in working for you.
Yeah, really good advice. What about for talent development? What would be the number one tip that you would offer in that space?
individuals are looking for employers that are willing to invest in them. So a smart employer is one that is willing to invest in people, knowing that they'll build loyalty and they'll build commitment from those people. Furthermore, those people that you hire and are working for you are your front line. Those are the individuals that are taking care of customers, designing products, building products. Those are the individuals that you need to take care of if you want to have a world-class organization.
Nice. Very good information. Well, let's go into some networking questions. To a number of people, networking is a really scary word, and it invokes fear and hesitation and uncertainty. My goal is to remove some of that fear and hopefully get a story from you about your most successful or favorite networking experience that you've had.
Sure, I can think of a couple of examples, and quite honestly, both of them are rather personal, because they relate to the way I found both of my most recent positions. About 5 years ago, I had already retired and was doing some networking because I was interested in pursuing a job as a consultant. Was at a conference, met somebody I had been introduced to earlier that year. And at the end of the conference, we were just chatting briefly. And she asked me what I thought of the conference. I explained what I got out of it, why I was excited with what I had learned. And she asked me, would you like to do more work in this area? It turns out that she was working for the Fox Valley Workforce Development Board. They were looking for a CEO. And she asked me point blank, would I consider going to work there? At first, I had some reservations, but as I looked at it further, I decided it was something worth pursuing. And lo and behold, I ended up being hired for that position. Never would have found it had it not been through networking. Mm-hmm. After I worked at the workforce board for several years and retired again, I was casting around looking to do something more in consulting, but on a more limited part-time basis. And again, somebody who I had worked with years before, who knew of Executive Agenda, suggested I take a look at it. And I did, found that it was a good fit for who I am and what I was looking to do. And I was brought on as a chair of Executive Agenda about a year and a half ago.
Nice. So you just kind of cast that net out to the people that you knew and said, this is kind of what I'm looking for, and there it is.
Exactly. There's only so much that I can know, but there's a lot of other people that I know who know even more than I do, and that's the power of networking.
Absolutely. That's why I love this topic. So I imagine with your diverse background, you've got a fairly large network. What do you do to stay in front of or nurture your network?
I try and stay connected and offer value to them.
Okay.
And one way I like to do that is I'll track people. When I hear that somebody who I've met before has landed a new job or gotten a promotion, sometimes I'll send them a note of congratulations. But I've also taken to identifying articles that I find in business publications that relate to a subject that's important to them.
Okay.
And I'll shoot them a copy of it with just a brief note saying, you know, I saw this and I thought you might be interested.
Sure.
It's a way to stay in touch with them. And it's also a way for people to know
that
I'm thinking of them and looking out for them.
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Just kind of sharing some resources that might be of interest to them, but also acknowledging them on that job front is it's a nice, easy thing to do that. What advice would you offer to the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Once you get into it, networking isn't all that difficult, but it can seem a little scary and intimidating. The most important thing, I think, is to stay engaged. Once you have someone in your network, keep them in your network. Don't let your network wither and die. So stay engaged. When you have an opportunity to attend the business function, accept the invite. All too often, I think it's easy to find excuses not to go, not to do something.
Mm-hmm.
But quite honestly, you don't know who you're going to meet. and where that next opportunity may come from. And then finally, when you're at a meeting or a social function, take the time to introduce yourself. Everyone there, I shouldn't say everyone, but many people there are also strangers. They're trying to figure out how to network. If you take the initiative, you'll find that people will appreciate that quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, people are there for the same reason for the most part, right? If it's not a educational conference, it's likely an organization that's built specifically for networking, but maybe in a certain industry. So people are there because they want to meet other people.
People are there because they want to meet other people. And oftentimes they're a little uncertain as to how to go about doing that.
Mm-hmm.
And don't necessarily try and network with the most popular or gregarious person in the room. Look for other people who are perhaps on the sidelines figuring out how to get started.
Yep.
Start with them. You'll build your confidence. They'll thank you for it. And you'll feel better at the end of the day as a result.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes the quiet ones are the most interesting ones, right?
Absolutely.
With regards to digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
Well, there's something to be said for both. Digital networking is a way to stay connected with people across the miles where you don't get a chance to see them as often. But I do have a preference for more traditional networking. Maybe it's because I'm a bit older than a lot of other folks, but the idea that I know someone because I've met them, I've shaken their hands, looked them in the eye, sat across the table and chatted with them, it's just a much deeper and much more fulfilling type of connection.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously that can't work in every case.
Yep.
In those cases, digital networking opens up a lot more contacts than traditionally would have ever been there in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Someone recently explained it kind of digital is more going wide and traditional is going deeper in the conversation.
That's a good way to put it. One other example along those same lines that I've used in the past, and this would deal more with recruiting and hiring people, is that there's all sorts of online tools to help you prepare a resume, to apply for a job, to get your connections out to in front of a lot of employers. And similarly, for employers to screen resumes, but ultimately, people hire people.
Mm-hmm.
The hiring decision is almost always made because two people came together, sat down, and reached an agreement on what needed to be done and how it's going to get done.
Yep.
So ultimately, people hire people, and networking is the same way. I believe it's two people connecting and getting to know each other.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. If you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
I think I would tell my 20-year-old self to have confidence, to don't sell yourself short, and go for it, to put it in just a very, very simple phrase. Back when I was 20 years old and just coming out of college a couple of years after that, job market was pretty poor, a lot of uncertainty as to what the future held. But things all sort of worked out in the end. May not have been exactly the path that I was looking for, but it has served me well.
You're happy.
So have confidence and go for it.
I like it. Keep it simple, right?
Yeah.
So I am a huge advocate of continuous learning and improvement and self-education, and I imagine as someone chairing and other business executives, you're probably reading a lot of books right now as well. So what books on your nightstand currently?
Well, I just finished reading a book. And yes, I do read some business books, but I also read some books just for pleasure.
Sure.
And I just finished reading a book by Donna Brazile called Hacks. And I was fascinated by it because I thought, here's a chance to get an inside look at a political campaign that we just finished up.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the insights and the knowledge that I gained that typically I never would have experienced was quite fascinating.
Interesting. I've not heard of that book, but I am definitely curious.
Yeah.
That's great. So any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Don't be shy. Be willing to connect and be willing to take the time to stay connected, to keep your network alive.
Yeah, I think keep going.
People will remember you, and connections that you make today may come back and help you in ways you can't imagine 5 years, 10 years, even 20 or more years from now. I found it to be one of the more rewarding parts of my career.
And I love that you said that, because it's definitely something that I preach to the students that I teach about how critical it is to start building your network now as you're close to graduating college, because you have no idea where the person that you're meeting today is going to be of value to you in the future.
Yeah.
But that's great. Don't be shy. Definitely be willing to connect and to, more importantly, take the time to stay in front of and nurture that audience, that your network that you've got. Really great. Thank you so much. So, Paul, if anyone was interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Well, probably through email, and I will give you my shorthand email address.
Okay.
It's just Paul.
Okay.
Paul at PSHR.
PSHR.
Like Paul Stelter Human Resources.
Okay.
.biz, B-I-Z.
Fantastic. And I will include that information in the show notes. Thanks so much for being on the show today, Paul.
You're welcome. It was my pleasure to be here. Thank you.
All right. Well, this wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Paul Stelter for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.